All right, welcome folks to today's featured interview. And today I bring you a very special guest who I've been trying to get on for quite some time. And he keeps telling me, no, I'm working on this project. I'm working on these books. I'm working on these things. Well, today he's ready to reveal what he's been working on. And it's some really fascinating, intriguing stuff. And I'm going to ask him about what's happening right now in the post-election world and what may be coming. So you're really going to enjoy this interview. Our guest is David Wilcock, and the website is thedisclosure.com, and the name of his new project is The Michael Prophecies. So I welcome you, David Wilcock. It's great to have you on. I can't wait to talk to you about your project and everything else that's going on. Welcome.
It's great to be back, Mike. Thank you.
It has been a little while since you were able to go public with me, but we've talked a lot, you know, privately since then. Tell us about this project that's been really occupying your time for like a year, I think.
Yeah, it's a very interesting phenomenon that's going on. To put it in quotation marks, I played around with remote viewing when I first got onto the internet in 1996. And I forget when Natural News got started, but I mean, you've just been around forever.
It was 2003, actually, when we kind of got on the map.
Yeah, I had posted on Richard C. Hoagland's discussion forum in 96. And that was really the only type of social media for UFOs available at the time. And then I had my own website in 99, beginning in February. And right away, I began uploading results from this work that I was doing, which was a form of remote viewing, but it was a modified protocol where I'm using the essential tenets of military remote viewing as described in books that were freely available to read. And I then modified that based upon the work of someone I met in Richard's discussion forum. And this person had a technique he called the dream voice. And he said, if you wake up in the morning and you can first remember your dream when you wake up, which I always did because I was a dream practitioner. We talked about lucid dreaming and moment of truth.
Yes, that's right.
That's been a major part of my life. I mean, I've been writing my dreams down every morning since I got completely alcohol and chemical free in 1992. So the sobriety and the dream work kind of happened at the same time. And it was, I guess, 3 years of writing my dreams down every morning before some sort of greater intelligence identified itself in the dreams and said that I could speak to it through telepathy. And so when I got the technique down, I started practicing it. And from the first time that I did it, there are very phenomenal things that have happened. So in the early stages of my career, from 99 through 2005, I guess, 2004, I promoted this material. I talked about this material, and I had people have a lot of hard times with it. You know, it created a lot of division because if you have a contact like this coming through you, at first you might think this is a great thing, but it actually creates, as I discovered, lots of jealousy in other people, lots of anger in other people. Lots of inexplicable, it would appear that many people would feel, if they were in my personal life, they would feel threatened by this.
Wow.
I get that. I mean, this is a higher source of intelligence. And if you go back to the books that I've written, and I know, Mike, you told me your father was a fan for a long time. So you've known about my work for a long time.
Yeah. Right.
I hope it's okay that I said that.
Yeah, that's totally okay. But tell us the titles of some of your books for our audience.
Sure. I was lucky enough to get a book deal shortly after getting a movie deal with the guy that wrote Contact. We hired him to write our own film, not realizing at the point that it was going to be impossible to get a big budget film made in Hollywood with independent money. It really is impossible. But we tried to raise money, and we did write a script with Jim Hart, who wrote Contact. He's an A-list screenwriter. And I actually wrote multiple rewrites with him. So that was back in 2008, and I was able to somehow, you know, cross-collateralize where the next thing you know, I'm on Ancient Aliens, and I've got this book deal. The book came out, I think, in 2010, the first one that was published. It's called Source Field Investigations.
Yep, that's the
and
one.
And you well know that this is the masterpiece of what I've done.
Let me just interject here real quickly, because I think a lot of our audience, they will absolutely remember you appearing on Ancient Aliens. And I think, if you don't mind me saying, a lot of people are struck by how much knowledge you have of ancient civilizations and also, you know, consciousness and a lot of topics, like cosmic level topics, that some people would say that it's kind of out there. You know, these are kind of fringe topics, but that was 2008. I mean, today, I don't think any of these things are fringe topics. I think humanity is awakening to this kind of spiritual and consciousness revolution that's taking place. And I think they're hungry for bigger explanations of the cosmos in which we live. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, and I'm really grateful for Brighteon and what you're doing. I think it's amazing to watch this team crystallizing around you. And I've been actually listening to all the shows.
Whoa. Okay.
Dr. Ed Drew.
I'm blushing now.
Ron DeSantis's health administrator. Yeah, the interviews you're doing. And I got to give you credit, by the way. We don't want to get too far off to the side, but you did have intel that you reported on Situation Update before the election that said that they were going to steal like never before and just do it right in your face.
That's right.
Trying to make everybody mad. And lo and behold, your intel was right.
Yeah, that's true. I do want to ask you about elections and so on, but continue. So
I wanted to open up first by completing the story about the oddity of what was happening to me when I was doing these readings. Because if you haven't heard this before, it's really profound. I've documented this in books. So there's the first book, again, is Source Field Investigations. And that was me saying, you know what? I don't want to be involved in channeling. I don't want to be involved in this stuff because it makes everybody upset, turn on me. And so let me just stick to science. So I wrote this incredible book that was the result of so many years of research. Then I wrote another book called The Synchronicity Key. And at the same time that I did that, I started, the same time that book came out was actually right after December 2012. And you remember this, Mike, I was the 2012 solar flash catastrophe guy. And so if you hinge your entire personal career on a certain date being doomsday and then nothing happens, now you have to find other ways to make a living. And so that's what happened to me after 2012. I reoriented my whole focus because it's like, well, I thought there was going to be a solar flash that was going to cause ascension, and that didn't seem to happen. However, as you well know, Mike, for many years, I have been reporting on interplanetary climate change, the very curious phenomenon of how the sun is becoming brighter, hotter, and more magnetic. Planets are all changing, and people aren't burning fossil fuels on these planets. But the changes are incredibly dramatic. They're incredibly discontinuous. We're seeing brightening. We're seeing much more storm activity, kinetic activity, earthquake activity, heating activity.
And these are all things, I'm sorry to interrupt, but these are all things that are being reported by conventional astrophysicists. You know, it's coming out of university studies, telescope observations, and so on, what you're saying.
Right. And it's something where up until the year 2000, it was only considered Russian science because Dr. Oleksiy Dmitriev had put this work together. And when I was in the middle of, you know, having a book come out about these readings and then discovering that people are going to give me death threats and they're going to do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was unbelievable. I mean, I was very traumatized. So Richard C. Hoagland was still essentially the top guy on Coast to Coast. And so in 2004, he gave me a path to affiliate with him. And I believe it was in 2005, early in 2005, that he said, okay, can we recreate what the Russian scientists did to prove that the solar system is changing with NASA data. And I actually was able to come up with 150 references. And I published a paper on his website called Interplanetary Day After Tomorrow. And it had absolute NASA proof of shocking things going on. Like, for example, Mars didn't have an atmosphere. It's growing an atmosphere. It grew such an atmosphere that when NASA sent a probe in, the probe encountered twice the atmospheric density that it expected to have. And the sensors on the satellite bent, and it made it so they couldn't run it for a long time because the atmospheric pressure was so much higher. And I mean, it's a rabbit hole, really, to try to go into all the details of what is going on with interplanetary climate change. But for example, even the Earth itself is glowing more from outer space due to something called noctilucent clouds, which is this sort of plasma cloud that you see around the planet. So everything is glowing, everything is getting brighter, the sun is getting brighter, and when you translate this activity to the Earth, these effects also cause potentially catastrophic Earth changes. So the whole nature of what's happening to our solar system is the very stuff of extinction-level event disasters. And therefore, as you are speaking to the Christian community very effectively, I've tried to raise awareness about the fact that the prophecies that Christians would call the rapture of the ascension are not just Christian prophecies. They actually, according to the historians Giorgio de Santayana and Hertha von der Schend, these prophecies extend throughout 35 different mythological traditions, which is basically all of them. So there's a very, very strange mystery having to do with the fact that every single ancient culture who was contacted by what they felt to be angelic holy beings told them, hey, at the end of the 25,000-year cycle, which we're giving you all these codes about, there's going to be this spontaneous transmutation of the human species into an ascended light body. So the mythology, this is another very, very complex discussion that I don't, you know, we want to try to keep it to a half an hour. I'm trying to honor that. But I just want to say that if you look at all the data put together, the conclusion is that 35 different ancient cultures were visited by extraterrestrial angelic humans who then told them that there is a 25,920-year cycle having to do with the wobble of the Earth's axis, that at the end of the cycle, the sun gushes out a whole bunch of energy, and we turn into these enlightened, radiant beings if we survive. But then, of course, in the Hindu tradition and in the Zoroastrian tradition and in others, it looks like the sun is doing something that creates a burn on the surface of the Earth. And in fact, when you talk to these insiders who work for various classified programs, of which I've interviewed many, there's a consistent theme where they're expecting that at the end of each 25,000-year cycle, that the sun burns everything on the surface of the Earth to a crisp. And they said 1,000 degrees Celsius.
Whoa, what? That's not survivable just in a bunker.
No.
That's a wipeout.
That's an extinction level event.
Yeah.
So,
but if that has happened before, how is life still here?
Well, now we get into the role of angelic beings and the fact that there was a timeline that we apparently could have been on that all these 35 traditions predominantly pointed us to, which was where our solar system emits this blast. And if you haven't been rescued by these angelic beings, then you're, well, I think everybody gets rescued, actually. They say that. They say that everybody gets where they need to go. So it's not like they wouldn't rescue you. But the point is, where do you end up going? Do you stay with the Earth, or do you relocate to another planet that's still in the third dimension? And that's a big part of what my own contact has talked about, and other contacts, as well as there's a lot of inferential knowledge in the ancient mythologies about this too, such as Noah's Ark. Noah's Right. Ark first sounds kind of like a very simplified and colloquial story that wouldn't be true. But if you slightly define Ark in a different way and say that this could be analogous to some sort of extraterrestrial rescue mission for genetics, then yeah, the Ark is a craft, and they need breeding pairs of the animals they want to save, and then they're going to grab the people they want to save.
So if I could paraphrase this, so planet Earth is like a human wildlife preserve, and the extraterrestrial angelic beings, as you're describing them, they come in as needed to rescue some or all humans from these cosmic catastrophic events, some of which are cyclical, in order to make sure that humanity continues to exist.
That's one big layer of it. Yeah. We have a very interesting situation where the universe is multidimensional, and there's multidimensional life that could be standing in the room next to you as we're talking, and you can't see it, but it can see you, and it is telepathically influencing you. That's another big important part, is that we are not alone. We are not separated from angels. We are not separated from God. And if you look at the totality of human spiritual traditions, those that did not codify as strongly into religions tend to focus on experiential knowledge. There has always been a practice involved in spirituality that goes beyond the memorization of words from a book that you are inspired by, and then into, okay, can I contact the essence behind these words? Can I have a personal divine experience? Can I have a depersonalization where I am now aware of my greater identity? And that's the goal of all the great meditative traditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To go deeply within, and to, this is now, I'm paraphrasing what the Law of One would say, in silence, if you can reach stillness of self, then the voice of the Creator becomes available to you.
Now, but getting back to your project, the Michael Prophecies, what you're doing with this, as I understand it, is you are now writing, you are reinterpreting these experiences where you received information from your dream state meditations back in the late 1990s, and those, and correct me if I'm wrong, but those messages spoke about events happening today. Is that correct?
Yeah. Thank you for jumping me ahead in the timeline of that part of the story.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. That's my job.
No, I appreciate that. I really like hearing people talk, and I also, you know, want to keep this situation update to a reasonable size.
So, yeah, I mean, because you and I could go hours about all of this. And of course, every sentence you say, I have like 10 questions, but let continue from where we are now.
I'm trying to give a very broad cosmic palette to understand the context of what was happening in my case. Now, I was a catastrophist. I believed in an apocalypse in 2012. It didn't happen. However, and I wanted to get this in, on May something 2016, we got light coming to us from Proxima Centauri, which is our closest star, other than Barnard's star. But it's 4.3 light years away, and it had a solar flash. And when you actually calculate how far the star is from Earth, we see that the light was emitted on December 25th, 2012.
So
the star next door to us had a solar flash 4 days away from what the Mayan calendar, along with 34 other ancient traditions, seemed to be telling us was going to lead to the sun blowing up. Then the sun next door to us actually does blow up only 4 days apart from that date.
But we just didn't see the light here on Earth because light takes time to traverse space.
Right. So we didn't actually see it until 2016. And on various, there was this particular telescope called the Everyscope that they were using where they saw this. So I just want to point out that it was a big readjustment to have 2012 be non-productive. And in the meantime, I had veered away from these readings. I had totally gone in the scientific direction. I had Ancient Aliens. I had my own books. And I didn't want to be associated with the channeling. So I did all this work in the 90s. I'd never gone back and read it. I'd never gone back and edited it. I would do it. I would load it up on my website. And then I would just keep moving. And so around the time that you and I did that very influential interview that led to Moment of Truth last year, I was also having time loops where I'm guided to go back to certain parts of my transcripts. And these are the, again, readings that I dictated in 96 through 99. And I would have to go into a prayerful state, invoke protection of Jesus Christ. This is all very standard. And then, you know, you hypnotize yourself. You go very deep into trance. You don't totally lose consciousness, but you are speaking as an angelic presence is helping you with the words. And it's a very difficult thing to do. I think unconscious channeling is probably easier because then you don't have to be working to avoid tampering with it. If you're totally unconscious, your body is speaking and you're not there, and whatever it is, you know it's flawless. Well, I wasn't lucky enough to get that. I had to work with conscious channeling, and I wasn't even really sure if I'd done that great of a job. I mean, a lot of the stuff was very cryptic. It didn't make sense.
At the time.
It was at the time, yeah. And then also, I just kept going and going and going. It wasn't like I was going back and enjoying it as much as I just felt obligated to keep producing this material. So lo and behold, shortly after, well, it was last year. So I moved here last year in, and by here, I mean at 8,600 feet altitude in Colorado in the mountains. I've been living here for a solid year alone because my divorce happened soon after I was out here to work on my last launch. So I've been by myself. I've been doing the meditation. I haven't had social interaction. Mike, you're actually one of the only people I've been talking to this whole year.
Oh, wow. And you've also been sending me pictures of all kinds of snow. Like you get crazy amounts of snow there, by the way.
Like mid-October. And we've got snow cover right now, and we're probably going to have it until April or June. I mean, it's all year.
Right. But all you year. Are set. You have a really warm place there, by the way. I mean, I know you're not sharing this publicly, but you have a really cool setup, a living room, and you've got...
Oh, no, I have, man. Sources. I've done live stream, well, not live, but I've done videos of walkthroughs of my house and my property called David Wilcock Hangout. So people...
Okay. I didn't see that. Okay. But anyway, yeah. Well, and I've been asking you to come on this whole time, and you're like, not yet. I'm working. So I respect that.
There's very strange stuff that's going on. And it's very difficult to try to open up the Archangel Michael discussion, and we're already bleeding out time here. So it's like, wow, all right, let me just try to get to the point. It turns out that I now have 351 pages so far in book one, which is 1997, plus some amazing stuff that I found in 2009 and 10. I actually had another reading come through in 2010. I put it on my website. And it's very prophetic. So then book two right now, I think is around 432 pages. And I think book three is around 456 pages. And I'm still formatting them and they're going to get more pages before they're finished. But this is what I'm trying to say. Archangel Michael is apparently real, whatever you want to define that to be. And it's theoretically a Catholic saint, but there's many other levels to it. I wouldn't have expected Archangel Michael to be real. I certainly wouldn't have expected to be contacted by supposedly Catholic saints when I'm not even Christian. or I wasn't when this was being done. I mean, that's another very strange thing, like, is that this work is incredibly spiritual. It's incredibly, even I would say, religious. It's very Christian. And I was not at all a Christian when it came through. So I felt it was a little off-putting at that time that these beings, whoever they were, Archangel Michael, whatever that is, was so unapologetically centered in what he wants to say that's different than what I would have wanted him to say. Because I would have said, hey, you know what? Let's not go deep into this Jesus territory. Let's back away from that, okay? But no. They don't care. whoever it is, had an agenda. And now I'm actually far more receptive to a Christian message, and I understand it. I've put the dots together for myself. I've said, well, if the Law of One says that the galactic consciousness is Jesus, I find it very interesting that the sun is. Did you see this past week how the sun was smiling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw that photo. Well,
that's not an accident.
But importantly,
living in a universe, and it's telling us that it's happy with the way things are going.
If you don't mind me connecting the dots here that are really important.
Right.
From the private conversations that we've had, you then found, as you're writing this up, and I know you're doing, I think, a 3-volume book series and then audio material, the audio versions of the books as well.
And yeah, which is like 13, well, how many pages? It's almost 1,300 pages.
Yeah, right, right. And that's what you're about to release. And I'll just, the website for this, folks, by the way, is thedisclosure.com. And this starts to get released next Tuesday on the 15th. So I'll just plug that for you there, David. But
pray for me, everybody, that I'll get it done by then. But that's my hope.
Right.
It would have been wonderful if I had it tonight. As a business person, it would have made a lot more sense if, as you're listening to this, you could go actually order it. But this is the one thing in my life. I am selling all of the material that Archangel Michael brought through me in all the years that are relevant, all at once, for $99. And I could have milked the hell out of this and made it into all these products and gouged for money on this, and I'm not doing it. It's like, okay, it's $33 a book, and each book you're getting a book and the audio version, which means it's like $16.75 for each of these products. So I'm actually making it less expensive than if I were to do this with conventional publishing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But let me interject the relevant thing to people here, like why they might want to get this and check it out.
It was because the umami, the tastiness of the burger, hasn't been described yet.
Let me just say it, that okay, at least as you've described it to me, you found a plethora of things that apply to today that you received back in the 1990s that are eerily specific about events unfolding right now. Is that correct?
Yes. And it's a very difficult thing to talk about this and also be the one who received it, because I have to talk about something in advance of other people reading it and in advance of their comments and what they are going to say and what somebody like you will say. But let me just put it bluntly. You go back to Tibet, you go back to stories of yogis, and apparently they meditate and they download in Tibet entire scrolls, which they then go to a monastery and they compare their download to the original scroll that one of the monks pulls out of the back of the monastery. And in the Tibetan tradition, you actually have to have a 100% accuracy in getting the entire scripture word for word correct. And you don't pass until you get a flawless dictation.
Dude, that's a tough final exam right there. Gee.
And it seemed so ponderous and impossible that that could even happen. And when I was doing this, there were so many things that they would say that just were paradoxical, didn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. That's very cryptic. That's very strange. And then there was a lot of personal information. So for the last year, as we've all watched history unfolding and as certain historical events have taken place, I've been at different points in editing this manuscript, and then there's a prophecy of it. So the part that's really strange is that apparently I got fairly close to what these Tibetan guys were doing, in that whatever I was listening to was actually correct, and I was getting the scroll, according to what Michael says, about 90% correct. The 10% is where my conscious mind hears some of it and, you know, steers it in the wrong way. And so most of the time that that happened, it was obvious. And most of the time that it happens, they would get mad at me and they would tell me to stop interrupting. So I just took all that stuff out. There are certain places where it's obvious that I was too close to the surface. And so I don't even bother with those. I've only left in the stuff that I call deep sea fishing, where it comes from a deep trance level. And I'm not aware of what it's saying. But what I find so amazing, Mike, is that this is a source that is speaking to us using prophecy to validate its identity and validate its existence. That they are saying they exist outside of time. They are time traveling Christian angelic ETs, so they claim. They say Jesus is a galaxy. They say that all of children on all planets are Jesus's children, ultimately, because Jesus is just a representation of the personality of the universe. It's a loving consciousness. And so when this work goes out into the public, I would expect that people are going to have very profound experiences. And the reason why I say this is that every time I read this, I am shaken to my core. I cry. I can't believe how powerful the words are. I can't believe the level of intelligence. I can't believe how accurate the prophecies are. And in the midst of a situation like what just happened here, and so let's pivot to this, Mike, because I know we're running out of time and I do want to respect that.
No, it's fine. And I have something really important to tell you here, but we can go over time for that. But you just triggered something in me that I have to share with you. But
well, go spit ahead, it out. That. Let's get to it.
Well,
I can dovetail back into mine. I will certainly know. I remember what I'm going to say.
Okay, really? You want me to just go ahead and jump in?
Well, maybe you want to hear mine first?
Yeah, let's hear yours first.
And okay, because maybe it's both the same thing. That would be ironic if we're having
that would be wild, because this came to me in a very vivid dream, by the way, just I think 3 days ago.
Oh.
Very vivid dream, but I'll tell you about it after you're done.
Great. So when I saw the election results in France, and I said, you got almost millions of people on the streets saying "Tais-toi, Macron," you know, which is a French curse. Wait a minute, Macron wins? He didn't win. You know, so I was saying at the time when Macron allegedly won the French election, no, we're not going to vote our way out of this. We should vote. And I think it's important to understand in terms of gains and losses here. And I know there seems to be despondency because it looked like we were going to get this red tsunami. Even the adversary was saying that. You, Mike, had said on your show that you had intel that they were going to cheat like never before and do it right in our face. And sure enough, that kind of looks like what happened. However, Republicans are holding the House, and it's a very close race for the Senate.
Yes.
And the whole entire three-volume Michael prophecies, again, volume one, 351 pages right now, volume two, 432 pages right now, volume three is 456 pages. And I haven't even added anything in two and three. There's no other words except for the words of this angelic being.
Oh, wow.
So these are hundreds of pages. And they're talking about what's happening right now over and over again. There's so many direct and accurate prophecies in there.
Such as? I mean, give us a couple of examples.
My God, there's so many. I don't even know where to begin. They nailed Afghanistan. They nailed the Ukraine war. They have Joe Biden in there a few times. They have references to Kamala Harris in there. I mean, it's truly something you're going to have to see to believe. I'm keeping the price down partly because I want people to say, well, yeah, you know what? For 1,300 pages, from an archangelic consciousness, I'm willing to spend $99 to encounter this intelligence. You know, and hopefully my company is actually getting some money and I'm going to get some kind of back pay for all the years of work I've done on the board. So if that happens, it also offsets my financial needs. So that's why I'm trying to put some of the burden on my aerospace company and not on, you know, the person buying the book. But it is totally going to be worth it. It is the, okay, let's put it this another way. As a historian, as a regular town and over 100 episodes of Ancient Aliens on History Channel, we have turned over every rock. We have looked for every source of prophecy. We've done Mother Shipton. We've done Nostradamus, the Hopi, everything you can possibly imagine when it comes to prophecy. I've studied it all. I've studied Edgar Cayce. I read all the Nostradamus quatrains. I've read multiple books on all different types of prophecy. And so as someone who has that background, I am not aware of any book in existence that has this many easily verifiable prophecies in them. So one of the things I did, which is sort of visually stunning, but also helps you find them, is every time Michael makes an accurate prophecy, I put it in bold and I put it in red. Hmm. So that's why it's going to be an ebook, because in print, I mean, I guess we could
you can't really do that in print. Yeah,
it might not look very good, but it can be done. Yeah, and it would make it more expensive. You're right, to print the books, but I may want to try to find a two-tone printing method and just get the red in the printed copies too, because the red really helps you. If for no other reason than just tabbing through each of these three volumes, and there's red almost on every page.
But I must ask you, these prophecies must extend, I'm guessing, beyond today, which is November 9th, 2022. We're having this talk in the evening, but these prophecies must extend into our upcoming future, correct?
Absolutely.
I mean, I would guess.
And again, this is a huge area of discussion, but to try to simplify it, the core of Michael's message, they needed somebody there. They don't want me to be worshipped. They don't want me to be seen as anybody different or special or better. And I'm concerned about that, frankly, because the book is so incredible that it will probably inspire strong hatred and strong devotion. And I don't really want either one. Yeah, really don't.
Exactly. It's going to be highly polarizing.
If you want to be a cult leader, you are a dumbass. Because the whole point of what you're trying to achieve on your spiritual quest cannot be reached if you act like a cult leader.
Right.
So then what in the world are you doing?
Well, like you said, you're going to get either, you know, highly devoted stalkers or violent lunatic haters. It's like, nope.
And as it's, at, you know, one of my insiders had me watch the entire Babylon 5 television show, and there was a character in there named Jakar. And his line was, when people make a statue out of you, it's a short time before they break it over their knee.
Yeah, good point.
And I think that's something we all need to remember in the Patriot community. I mean, it can be very fun going out there and developing a public following. And then it's also a very risky thing, you know. But the point, what I'm trying to say is that Michael used somebody like me, a normal human. Maybe I'm not normal, but I'm certainly a regular biological human. To bring us this information that says that the biblical earth changes are not going to be happening. The solar flash that happened in 2012 on Proxima Centauri was like we dodged a bullet. That was meant to happen here too, but for some reason it didn't. And this gets into beings that would be like type 3 civilizations, where they have the ability to access power of a star and they can control the power of a star.
Right.
So that seems to be what we're dealing with. So I want to point out that yes, they have described everything that's going on right now. And they actually also said that the real Mayan calendar end date was corresponding with the Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions, which happen every 20 years, very similar to the Mayan Khatun of 20 years. And so they redated in the book, and I didn't even know this until I was going through it in 1997. They redated the Mayan calendar end date to 2020. And specifically, they dated it to the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in 2020, which is on December 26th. And so here I have it in writing, and I have it on all my hard drives. I mean, this is going to be one of the things, Mike. I'm going to need to prove to everybody that all this stuff is real, because it's so amazing that it's going to defy belief.
Well, what happened on December 26, 2020?
Well, December 26, 2020, if you say, okay, the Mayan calendar end date is supposedly associated with this quantum leap in consciousness and with extinction level events. So December 26, 2020 is only a month and a half after the contested 2020 election,
right,
where Biden gets installed. And it's only like literally a day or two away from when the very first Vs as injectables became available to people. So yeah, the V rollout and Michael's date of the Mayan calendar end date are essentially identical, down to almost the day.
And like the vaccines then becoming the genocidal anti-human attempted annihilation system.
The launch of the vaccine was equivalent to the solar flash. And it happened within 3 days of the Mayan calendar end date, according to Michael's revised dating system in 97. So in 97, Michael is telling me, if you really want to see what's going to happen in the Mayan calendar end date, you got to wait till 2020. And then we look at 2020, it's like, oh, okay.
And actually those injections, you know, I know you're aware of this, but I'm just reminding the audience, they have begun to alter the chromosomal genetic integrity of the human race. And there have been over 12 and a half billion injections across the planet.
I have to say this, Mike. Archangel Michael tells us all throughout all three volumes that this entire thing, this entire situation that we're in right now, is something that they had to allow to happen. Because if this hadn't have happened, we were just going to drive right over the cliff, just like Thelma and Louise. And instead, this event is causing a mass awakening, which apparently, this is the real blessing, okay? Michael is laying out, he's telling us everything that's already happened. He's got Joe Biden, he's got Obama, there's all kinds of stuff about the vaccines, there's all kinds of stuff about COVID, there's all kinds of stuff about pandemics. It's all over the place throughout all three volumes. But they continually say that this was brought in to give us this worthwhile education where we actually see that there is an organized satanic initiative on Earth. So Michael is talking about the fact that these people want to inject microtechnology into us. I had no idea this was going on back in the 90s, but it's all over the place.
No, it was sci-fi back then.
Oh, it would. Yeah. I mean, you could theoretically say, yeah, I guess it's possible. But then, well, it doesn't even seem plausible. I mean, it's possible, right, but it's not plausible. So now it's like, okay, we have, when you and I did Moment of Truth last year, we spelled out the intel that I'd gotten from my insiders, which includes intel from 2010 from Uncle Jack, who was Australian and was supposedly a hitman for the Rothschilds and worked in the extraterrestrial arena in their space program. And he was telling me that all of these people are being injected with an AI system that has as its purpose the control of the people who have been injected. And if you are fully brought into this, you lose your free will effectively. You become a demonic electronic Freddy Krueger. You're a child-raping, blood-drinking, planet-killing Cenobite from Hellraiser, and you have no control over what your body is doing to your victims. You're just watching it happen, controlled by an intelligence that you can't dominate. And it's making your body do these things, and you can't stop it from happening. It's very, very frightening. So I think one of the biggest things that's come in the whole Patriot community as a result of the work that you and I did last year in Moment of Truth, Mike, is the realization, which I didn't have until fairly recently from my own military briefings, Satan is real. Now, people in the heartland, people in the flyover country are kind of comfortable with that for the most part. But then in the liberal states, oh, well, I'm a scientist. Yeah, that there's no science in this. And that's one of my insiders said, Satan's greatest trick is convincing humanity that he does not exist.
Right.
And so in book one, I have a whole two chapters where I analyze the precursor material from Michael, which is the Law of One. And I specifically have two chapters on the Law of One on Satan, demons, and hell. And the Law of One describes that what we see like in Dante's Seven Levels of Hell or the Tibetan Bardo's is true, that there are these thought form realms in which demonic human animal caricature type of creatures exist. And we are, according to the Law of One, we are co-creators with the universe. We actually create life forms with our thoughts. And in this reality, in order to stop things from going totally haywire, all the little beings that we create are kept in a separate place. So some of those places house the negative beings that our thoughts create. And that would be one form of what you could think of as hell. Mm-hmm. So there's a big picture that Michael lays out in this book that we've been describing, and your Karen Kingston data is amazing. I mean, here's a medical doctor who goes into the actual Pfizer vaccine, looks up the listed citations of previous researched works and corollary materials that has to do with how did they develop this vaccine? Oh, well, it's an intelligently guided servo quantum dot mechanism.
Yeah, and she, by the way, she's not an MD, but she is a medical, a biomedical patent and intellectual property research specialist. That's kind of a lot of what she did when she worked for other. She worked for Pfizer, not as an employee, but as a contractor. So that's her whole background.
Well, as soon as she opens her mouth, you see she's dazzlingly articulate. And she knows.
Yes.
I mean, she's got the PhD chutzpah. Either way, is my point.
And she's been nailing it, yeah, just time and time again. And then I interviewed Todd Callender on that.
I did. I heard that too. Yep. And you're starting to get towards the whole Hydrolinnaeus synthetic parasite discussion.
Yes, with Ed Group, we had that discussion.
Yes, and that's a very important one because the Hydra has these tentacles in it which are designed to create toxic poisoning. And like you've been talking about with Dr. Callender, or I don't know if he's a doctor either, but
no, he's an attorney.
Okay, right. That was amazing, by the way. All of your stuff has been amazing.
But, well, I'm just talking to people. I mean, they're the amazing ones, just like you and your work and what you're doing. I'm just bringing people together and asking curious questions. That's all I do.
Well, it's freakish. The world, it turns out, is a story that's a lot weirder than any of us could have anticipated. I mean, Mike,
indeed,
even you and I in the truth community, right? We're out there, essentially our job, the way that we make money is to share weird information with people that hopefully helps them and not just makes them freak out. You know, but the weirdness of what has actually happened on Earth, even though we knew the prophecies, these people, we knew they wanted to reduce population. They put it on the Georgia Guidestones, which they erected in 1980. They've been planning this for a long time. This is nothing new. And the best way to reduce population is to get something into a person's body, you know? And I think everybody can see that now. But then it's like, wait a minute, you mean to tell me that Bill Gates and Fauci are dicking around with nanotechnology? Computers that are tiny enough that they can fit through the hole at the tip of a needle? Yeah, folks. You got to wake up. You got to realize what's going on here. Now, I don't think, again, that everybody, the injections that people have gotten up until now is not the magic one. Because the one that Uncle Jack told me about, you're going to be jumping 30 feet in the air. And if somebody shoots you, your body just goes.
What do you mean?
Just seals it right up and you keep on going.
What? You're talking about like Wolverine shots? What are you talking about?
When you become one of these AI nanite-infused slaves, you are a digital Freddy Krueger who's raping children, drinking blood, human trafficking, and you have no control over your actions.
And you can heal from bullets? Man, that blows my entire AR-15 plan for how to engage these creatures if they come for us. I figured if they move, you could shoot them.
Well, we could get batteries in the bullets, right? And then we EM...
like little EMP pulses or EMP whatever. EMP
bullets, right? The
I'm not afraid of zombies and skeletons and undead. If they move, if they have sinew and bones, you can fracture that with high velocity rounds, you know?
this is not that, man. You become undead. Somebody in the truth community was saying, I think it might have been Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about this. And it's like, look, this is way the hell worse than death. Or no, it was Lara Logan. I remember now. It was Lara Logan. If you get stuck in this world where if this thing is successful, it's exactly like the Borg. You no longer have the free will. Your body is going to be kept alive long after you should have died. You will be like an undead corpse that's kept alive by billions of self-intelligent microorganisms, digital microorganisms. And if there's a big hole blown out through your chest, well, then they'll just seal it back up. So you essentially become like the T-1000.
The T-1000. Oh, my gosh. All right. Look, the time is getting away from us. A couple of things. Do you want to hear my thing that I was going to share with you?
Absolutely.
Your reaction.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. The main message why these beings bothered to do this through me is to tell us, number one, your planet is not going to be destroyed. Number two, they keep saying this whole vaccine thing is not as bad as you think it is. I believe from what Michael is saying, and I want to get this in everybody's hands as quickly as possible. That's why I'm hopefully going to have this out on Tuesday. I will make every effort that we will have the book ready for you on Tuesday morning at thedisclosure.com. $99, you're going to get just volume one because I haven't finished volumes two and three. All I have to do is put in subheadings. But the bottom line is, and even if you just read volume one, it's going to tell you this, everything that we're seeing right now is leading up to Nuremberg-type tribunals. It's in there all over the place. But what I don't think most of us have spent enough time thinking about is what happens when you have this entity that not only has been editing politics, like making up stories about Trump that are not true and we find out, but people still believe them. It's a much deeper level of editing of reality where they have edited technology out of our field of vision that could have saved the planet. Free energy, anti-gravity,
right?
Garbage processing, amazing, amazing stuff. And as you and as your listeners know, I have put my money where my mouth is. And when I've made money, I actually reinvested it into this company that will create thousands and thousands of jobs and bring us hover cars. And I've been working on that very diligently through Michael's help. So Michael is not only giving me this book, he's also guided me to start this company where we're going to break this technology out. So it appears, if everything that the Michael prophecy says is true, that what we have to look forward to, and admittedly at this point, I'm not exactly sure how it's going to happen, but we're going to see arrests, we're going to see trials, the fact that the Republicans held the House, they might hold the Senate. It's still possible this whole thing could happen without any type of forceful kinetic military activity. But again, I've been getting briefings on the possibility of kinetic military solutions on this topic of the deep state since 2010. I've been out there publicly saying there's an alliance that wants to arrest these people and they may need to use force. So that doesn't mean anybody in the audience should use force. It means that don't assume, just like, you know, when remember when Putin was, Zelensky, nah, he's never going to invade Ukraine, man. Nobody's ever going to go into Ukraine. It'll never, Putin's never going in there. I believed it. I remember in some of your shows, you believed it. So it's like, and then all of a sudden, whoa, what the hell is going on? You know, so there could be more, whoa, what the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. That's possible. But it's amazing. You and I, Mike, we were calling on the phone. We were so worried about just this election, right? Like, are we even going to get through election day?
Well, I was very public about that. As you know, I was counting down and actually being very grateful that we made it to election day.
No kidding. There was so much fear in the mass psyche last night that I got up at 2:30 in the morning and I couldn't go back to sleep.
Oh, my.
So that's why I had a 2-hour nap before we started talking. Well, but anyway, okay. I don't want to drag you through the mud indefinitely on time. I just wanted to make the point that Michael's ultimate thing is that these cabal people have not only been holding back political information, they've been holding back medical information, they've been holding back technology, and they've been holding back accurate knowledge that we have always been surrounded by these angelic humans. They don't want us to know this because they see these beings as their competition. Hmm. So there is a huge awakening that this book apparently is helping to facilitate, that according to the book is going to lead to a galactic family reunion where we are coming face to face with these people and getting to talk to them just like I'm talking to you and work with them, you know, side by side, shoulder to shoulder in physical form. The message is that ascension is coming. The solar flash will still happen, but they have a way to stop it from burning life on Earth. They have a way to preserve our physical bodies. So I would assume that there's going to be some type of defeat of the cabal, some sort of open acknowledgement that ETs exist. We get to meet them. They introduce themselves to us on a global scale. And then we find out, well, we need to open up the sun. And when we do this, all of you guys are going to get a huge spiritual upgrade. And what does open up the sun mean? Well, like I said, apparently, there will be a solar flash, but they say that they're going to create a shroud of love around our planet and our bodies so that our bodies stay intact. So after this happens, you'll still be alive. You'll still be on Earth. There's no Earth changes. You still have your body, but now you also have the beginning of your ascended body coming through, and eventually, you will be able to fully migrate over to that ascended body, and then only project your physical body if you want to have one, but you won't need to have one. That's where apparently all this is going. And it's very detailed descriptions of this for hundreds and hundreds of pages. It's totally paradigm busting. I've never seen anything have this much prophecy in it. You will cry when you read this book. It will make you feel closer to the universe and the spiritual beings than anything. And I don't mean that to be, you know, self-promoting. I'm honestly saying this is made for our time. This is made to be read by people going through what we're all going through. And it seems really ridiculous to me to doubt the veracity of the prophecies in light of how everything they said up until now has been true. If every single thing they said in the 90s that I published online, you can go back and see on archive.org that these readings were on my website. If all that stuff is true, why would all of a sudden the pessimistic side be right? And well, okay, yeah, Archangel Michael was right about everything up until now, but all the rest is BS. No.
Okay.
We got a through line to some very exciting future. So thank you, Mike, for having me on.
Well,
I'm really excited about getting this out to the public. I cannot wait to hear everybody's comments on this.
See, I thank you, David, for taking the time to join me here and talk about this because, you know, I have been feeling very pessimistic since this rigged election about any good news coming here. But what you're talking about really transcends the chess pieces of the political ecosystem here on planet Earth. You're talking about something so much larger, you know, truly a transcendent ascension of human consciousness and just the very future of humanity.
Using apparently mundane politics as its platform to trigger a global awakening. Yeah, that's what's so interesting about it.
Well, we certainly need a global awakening, and maybe this is all just part of the process. I'm open-minded to the possibilities that you're describing.
I would love to talk to you after you've had a chance to read it. And again, my goal is not to make money. I kept the price as low as possible because I want people to be able to afford to read this. I could have charged a lot more. I'm keeping it inexpensive because the goal is just to get it into your hands. And wow. I do believe that, like, after the elections turned out the way they did, people are going to be a lot angrier, and we're at 44% of the American public right now that believes that the Illuminati deep state is real. And I think each week that percentage is going to go up. I don't expect that things are going to take a whole lot longer. I think that we could be right on the brink of, I mean, the Alliance could just start dropping major new pieces of information, where they can still get this done without ever having to have a kinetic intervention, you know, that it can stay legal and justice-based. And that's what we really want. We really don't want to see it have to turn into that force projection.
Well, no, but they need to get moving. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you. People are very upset. Underway. And yeah. People are sad. But when you read this, you'll see, hey, wait a minute. The reason why this happened is that if we didn't get this mass awakening, our planet was going to die. And Michael is saying that almost everyone on Earth will be able to go through this process. So that's another amazing thing, is we didn't expect very many people to ascend. Whereas with this system, everybody who's here will continue to be here. And by the way, they also say that once they open up the sun, if you had been injected with these toxins, it's very easy to meditate and heal your body and eliminate mRNA. So if nothing else works, and I love the fact that, you know, Dr. Ed Group is talking about technology that can bust graphene like carbon 60. That's all great. But I think ascension is the ultimate cure to being vaccinated. You know, mm-hmm. That's one of the messages in the book, is like, even if you were injected, if you can just live long enough until we do this, you'll be fine.
Okay, yeah, that's a really important message. Hang in there until new information becomes available, and work with what you have. We're all trying to do the best we can right now with what we know, but I agree that we are about to be hit with an explosion of consciousness, of enlightenment, of information. In fact, I think this process is underway in our own minds right now. It's been incredible. Now, David, we do need to wrap this up. I'll give out your website one more time. It's thedisclosure.com. And David's new series, The Michael Prophecies, it will be available Tuesday, the 15th of November and thereafter. And
if the internet is still running.
Good point.
I can't guarantee the internet, but I'll guarantee as much as possible that I'll have it ready by Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Good point. So that's where you can get it, folks. And we will check in with you, David, in a little bit here, especially as events start to unfold. I want to check in with you again, but let me know when you are available. I know you're going to be continuing the work on the audiobook versions of this, but thanks for taking the time today.
There's a lot of stuff in the Michael Prophecies about the need to prep and prep your ass off. So I do think it's going to get squirrelier than it is now. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. But prepping is only a means to get us through it so that we can experience what's on the other side, which is going
joy,
to be
joy, jubilation of reunion with God. Yeah, that's what this is all leading to. Exactly.
Yeah, amazing. All right. Well, that's it. We did over an hour, but thank you, David. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate you spending the time with me.
Thanks, everybody. And come to The Disclosure Tuesday morning. We'll be ready for you.
Okay, sounds good. All right. So that's the interview, folks. David Wilcock there. And we will check in with David again soon. And check out his new writings, The Michael Prophecies. And, you know, hang in there and get prepared. Be ready for miracles to happen, because we're living in a miraculous cosmos. No question about that. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, the platform of free speech, so that we can have discussions like this without being censored. Thank you for joining me today. Feel free to share this on other platforms. Take care.
A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.